to go ahead and get our prayer, and we're going to get going tonight, my brothers and sisters. We thank God for each and every one of you. Let us pray. Father, my prayer is that you would count us worthy tonight, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you would count us worthy of this calling tonight, and you fulfill all the good pleasures of your goodness and the work of faith with power, and that the name of you, Lord Jesus Christ, may be glorified in us according to the grace of our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray your word to have free course and you be glorified, and that your word reach many tonight, and that it accomplish your will and glorify your name. I pray that saints in the body of Christ will be strengthened with all might by your spirit in their inner man, and that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will dwell in their hearts by faith, and that they will be rooted and grounded in love, and that they will understand the breadth, length, depth, and height of what God is doing, and that they will know the love of Christ, so they will be filled with all the fullness of you, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time. And we pray as we study together tonight, Lord, that we will be encouraged in your word, and that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us in your holy scriptures, and that when we come away from your word tonight, that we will be edified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A serious question tonight is, if you die tonight, where will you spend eternity? Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. And the life which I now live is not the life of Adam. That life is gone. The only way to live the Christian life is to stay at the cross, my brothers and sisters. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. If you are a sinner, just doing better would not save you. You must believe the gospel by which we are saved. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, more of a brother, and I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, Paul says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. We must believe in order to be saved. My brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to continue on in part two. We must do more than just pray. We must walk circumspectly and redeem the time. Now, a quick summary of last week's message, Ephesians 5:15 through 16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because Paul tells us, because the days are evil. And then Colossians 4:5, Paul said, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, as I read Ephesians chapter 5, I was struck by the word walk. Three times in this chapter, Paul tells Ephesians to walk or live their lives in a particular way. And he's speaking to us also, my brothers and sisters. In Ephesians 5, Paul chooses to highlight love, light, and wisdom. In each instance, he then contrasts the positive with the negative. The exhortation found in these passages is very practical. It's all about action. The believer who follows the advice written here will be exhibiting his faith in practical ways. Let's take a look at a quick summary at how Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said we as believers should live, or in other words, walk out our lives. Paul says to first walk in love. Ephesians 5:1-2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and have given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. As believers, we are called to imitate God as children. do their beloved parents. Since God is love, it follows that learning to walk in love is imperative for the Christian. I hope you get that tonight. It is imperative to walk in love. Paul says, speak the truth, but speak it in love, my brothers and sisters. We must be holy as God is holy, merciful as he is merciful, forgiven as he is forgiven. But there is no one attribute of God more recommended for imitation than that of his goodness. Be you imitators of God, especially in his love. He said, walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That was another one of the ways Paul told us as saints in the body of Christ to walk. Because Paul told us what our condition was. In Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometime darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul speaks to the Ephesians as Gentiles who formerly had no access to the light of God. So now he's telling you to walk as children of light. Now, what exactly does a light do? A light shines, my brothers and sisters. When you turn on a light in a dark room, the darkness dispels. Our lifestyle should radiate with the light of God and testify of his presence in our lives and in this sin-cursed evil world. Then Paul said, walk as wise, Ephesians 5:15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. God is the source of all wisdom. I seek him, and I have learned that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:10, the wise person is able to judge properly what is true or right. Now, Paul says, as we get going tonight, be aware of the foolish conduct in which we can find ourselves engaged in. Many are not walking circumspectly. They are walking foolishly in choosing their friends. The scripture warns us of the influence of our companions on our life. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. My brothers and sisters, Proverbs 13:20. Despite all the warnings from the word of God, some Christians dally with sin day in and day out, acting foolishly, not walking circumspectively. They are like foolish children who play with a rattlesnake and then act surprised when it bites them. You done heard that phrase, you play with fire, sooner or later, guess what? You're going to get burned. How many of you are coupon clippers, since we're talking about redeeming the time? Usually, newspapers and many packets that come in the mail, what we call junk mail, are filled with coupons for discount off grocery items and merchandise. My lovely wife and I, we used to work at a plant that sent out this, what we call junk mail. And in that junk mail, you had a lot of coupons. And then for various things, grocery stores and discounts off of maybe auto places and all that. The little slips of paper are worthless in themselves. But when you redeem them, say for a quarter off a loaf of bread or 50 cents off a box of cereal, they can end up being pretty valuable. The same is true about your time. If you choose not to use it or you use it the wrong way, it's worthless. But if you redeem the time, use it to bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus' name by presenting the gospel, the grace of God, to a lost world, it can be immensely valuable to you and the people around you. We must never forget the world is watching us. They see our walk. They hear our talk. And they notice what we say and what we do. We must live our lives wisely and prudently, especially for the sake of the non-Christian sinners who are observing what we say and how we act. Time is sacred and precious, a commodity that we must use carefully and not waste. If you have damaged your witness, now is the time to let the Holy Spirit help you turn your testimony around so you can represent Jesus with honor before the unbelievers who are watching you. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18-19, Paul encouraged the believers in Ephesus to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. A supplication is a humble and earnest request for God's help. Notice that the exhortation here is to pray for all of the believers, and also for Paul and his ministry of the gospel. Likewise, Paul wrote in Colossians 4:2-4, continue in prayer and watching the same things with thanksgiving. He says, withal, praying also for us, that God will open up unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Time is something that true Christians living in the last days of the body of Christ in this evil world should be acutely aware of. But if we're not careful, many seconds, minutes, and hours will slip by unproductively. This is dangerous. Waste of time is irretrievable. It cannot be bought back. Paul admonished us to redeem the time in our lives because the days are evil, meaning that humans in general are under the rule and deception of Satan the devil. My brothers and sisters, he admonished Christians to not idly sit by and let the darkness of this world dictate events, but rather to make a conscious choice to do good works and let the light of God shine through them. We're not saved by works, but we're saved unto good works. What are you doing tonight? Have you got saved and just sat down? When was the last time you witnessed to a lost person in this world? When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? When was the last time you gathered around the word of truth, right, that divided and discussed God's word and communed with God? When was the last time? In other words, what's getting your time? What's occupying all your time that you don't have time for God's word? Paul says, what are some of the concrete examples of how Christians can redeem the time as God wants us to do? Some of the many things believers can do are to follow. We can do our Father's will. Now, the problem is that many in the body of Christ do not know what God's will is. I know if I ask that question tonight to folks, if we was at a Bible study or something, and I say, how many of you know God's will? A lot of folks wouldn't know what God's will is. My brothers and sisters, God has a will. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:9-10, having made known to us the mystery of his what? Will. According to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. My brothers and sisters, Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you want to be submissive to God's will, you must first read his word, so that you can understand his will. God the Father, ultimate will is to glorify his Son. If you want to know what God's will is, his ultimate will is to glorify his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in both heaven and earth. Did you notice what the Bible says? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has already made known unto us the mystery of his will. We do not have to pray for God to show us his will because he has already shown us his will in his written word. But the problem is, if you don't pick up the written word, you won't know God's will. If you don't study his word, you won't know God's will. We need to now read God's word in order to understand God's will. God's will is to make his Son, Jesus Christ, supreme ruler of heaven and earth. God will accomplish that by two means, using the nation of Israel as his chosen people on the earth, and utilizing the church, the body of Christ, that's us today, as his chosen people in the heavens. Now, the Apostle Paul writes that God has temporarily set aside Israel. That program is not today. Read Romans 11:12, 15, and 25. Currently, God is not dealing with the nation of Israel. A lot of folks think so, but no, he's not. So God's will does not involve the nation of Israel today. Right now, the Lord is calling out a people for his name from the peoples of this world, and this spiritual entity, this living organism, creature of believers, is called a church, the body of Christ. That's you and me. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary, you are a member of this new creature. In the dispensation of grace, God's will is to have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. Remember, God does not want anyone to go to the everlasting lake of fire. But not everyone would get saved. Reason being pride, contentment with works, religion, and many just going to stay blinded because Satan is blinding them to the gospel, the grace of God. But our time is important. God the Father wants everyone to trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, alone for salvation. God wants lost people to be saved. As you look around the world today, all this, what's going on in the world, I know people are hurting, people are going through many things, and they're having challenges in their lives, but guess what? God wants lost people to be saved. As Christians, our desire should be to see the lost people of the world saved. Redeem that time with the gospel of the grace of God. We can encourage other people in their Christian walk and selflessly serve them. My brothers and sisters, we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. We can meet with fellow believers in worship and praise the eternal together while regularly thanking God through Christ for his blessings. Additionally, we can redeem the time but not repaying evil for evil, but rather doing good. Romans 12:20-21. We can help others to bear the difficulties. What can we do with our time? We can help others bear the difficulties and the trials that come upon them each day because folks are going through some things right now. Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can also pray for others, especially those who are spreading the gospel. Colossians 4:2-5, Paul talks about continuing in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And then he talks about to speak the mystery. Go back and read Colossians 4:2-5. And he said, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Some may be wondering, why Paul referred to his message of the grace that Paul preached to the church, the gospel of the grace that Paul preached to the church were not known by man before God revealed it to Paul. Paul wrote in Galatians 1:11-12, when you ask the question, why Paul, a lot of folks can't tell you. But Paul says in Galatians 1:11-12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Some folks don't even get these scriptures and understand the depths of what God is saying in his word. Paul said, for I neither received it of man, received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Some folks think when they saw Jesus ascend into heaven, that was the last time that they heard from him. No, it wasn't. He had an encounter with Saul on the road to Damascus, the ascended Lord. That was the time. We want to talk about the last time right there. But some folks thinking when they saw him going away, talking over there in the early Acts, but they forget about the sin the Lord had an encounter with Saul of Tarsus, my brothers and sisters. The gospel by which we are saved was not taught to Paul by the 12 or by some other person, but by our risen Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the gospel given to Paul was not the gospel of the kingdom that had been preached by Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry and by John the Baptist and the 12. It was a gospel that God had never before made known to man. That's why it's called a mystery, Thus Paul wrote in Romans 16:25, now to him that has a power to establish you, look at what Paul said, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, look at this now, according to the revelation of the mystery. God had a secret, but a lot of folks don't know that because they've never been taught it or they never read it, which was kept secret since the world began. Y'all see that? Now, we have to have the love of Christ, my brothers and sisters, and have a forgiving heart. When Ephesians 5:16 tells us to walk circumspectly, wisely and careful, bringing glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus, the world is looking at us. And sinners are definitely looking and watching how we conduct ourselves. As saints in the body of Christ, God calls us to a higher standard. But how many know that Christians are notorious for bad behavior? Some Christians and church people are just downright mean. Why is this? Why are Christians so mean? The church is no place for grudges. Some people have the misguided belief that we're only to treat those within the family of God with honesty and respect. We should treat all mankind with honesty and respect because we represent Christ. Those outside the family of God can be slandered, abused, and swindled. And that shouldn't be. The Christian life is not to be characterized by grudges or vengeance or bitterness or pride. What are you doing with your time also? About your conduct now. All of that is destructive and must be dissolved in a forgiving attitude. There is a price to pay for being a bitter, unforgiving person. We just can't lay a path for destruction and think there are no consequences for our behaviors. Some folks just lay a path for destruction, how they treat people, how they talk about people, and then they expect not to be consequences behind those behaviors. You run people away. People don't want to be bothered with you because you say you're Christ, you say you represent Christ, but your behaviors are not showing it. Yeah, we still love you. Now, there is a price to pay for being a bitter, unforgiving person. We just can't lay, I say, a path of destruction and think there are no consequences from our behavior. There is nothing uglier, nothing worse, nothing more regrettable, and nothing more inconsistent than a Christian running around with no forgiveness for someone who has offended them. We must be a light to the world. Paul says, speak the truth, but he said, speak the truth in love. People say, well, the world would be such a beautiful place. You always hear that if we only forget all of our doctrine and just love each other, that won't work. That doesn't work. You can't do that. You just can't put a whole lot of people in a big room and say, go ahead and love each other. The lost don't know how to love, and many Christians in the body of Christ don't know how to love. I think a lot of Christians need to go back and study that, if I'm not mistaken, that 1 Corinthians 13, what they call the love chapter. I believe that's the chapter. But a lot of Christians, we need to go back and look at that chapter and see what love is. My brothers and sisters, there is no standard without God. So you got to start with him. If you're listening right now and you're not a Christian, don't try to live the Christian life without Christ. You can't do it. Believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scripture. My brothers and sisters, don't try to follow God's standards without God. It doesn't work. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. You say, what do you mean? You don't need to tell us. Why? For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Did you hear that? When you were saved, part of being saved was the love of Christ was what? Or the love of God. Romans, what was it? Let's go to Romans 5:5. Was shed abroad. Where? In our hearts. You were taught of God to love. All you need to do is go ahead and use what you have if you're walking in the Spirit. my brothers and sisters, you were taught of God to love. All you need to do is go ahead and use what you have. As long as you're going to be divisive, as long as you're going to be critical, as if you're going to use your time to be critical, divisive, and as long as you're going to be a brawler, as long as you're going to be going to hate instead of love, brotherly love cannot exist. Sometimes as saints, we turn away sinners. Because they look at Christians and say, oh, that's how Christians act. They supposed to be Christ-like. I don't want nothing to do with those. If that's what Christ-like is, love cannot exist. The testimony of the church is ruined when we don't love. God is not glorified. Love only grows in the garden of humility. We got to have a forgiving heart. Without the indwelling Holy Spirit and the love he sheds abroad in our hearts, you will not be able to forgive in a way that is acceptable to God. Why should you forgive someone who has wronged you? The world's answer is forgive everyone so you can live a longer, healthier life. The answer religion gives you is forgive others so God can forgive you. The answer God gives you is forgive others because I have forgiven you for Christ's sake. Ephesians 4:32. God's word is the final authority, not denominational tradition and religious leaders. Of course, when you forgive others, you do relieve yourself of stress. But none of us deserve forgiveness, not even from God. Still, we have already received forgiveness through God's grace, his unmerited favor. You have absolutely no reason to beg God to have mercy on you, and you do not need to ask God to forgive you. He has already forgiven you all of your trespasses. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see that? In time past, God dealt with ills. It was a different story. During Christ's earthly ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was a different story. Remember the so-called Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6:9-13 and Luke 11:2-4? Matthew 6:14-15 says, look what Jesus told him during his earthly ministry. He said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But look at this. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Luke 11:4 says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, that was Christ's earthly ministry about forgiveness. In order for the Jews and those for the people, the nation of Israel, doing Christ's earthly ministry, in order for the Jews to receive forgiveness from God, they had to first forgive those who wronged them. Now, that was on the other side of the cross of Calvary. Today, in the dispensation of grace, the opposite holds true. Because God has forgiven us, we cannot help but forgive others. Your response may be, yeah, but you do not know how bad that person hurt me. Indeed, I do not know anything about it, but what I do know is that God has forgiven you for all the horrible things you have done against him. And he is not withholding forgiveness. You have failed him and caused him more grief than that person you hurt. Show you something, the importance of right division, so we can see that right there. I want you to see those two different dynamics of why we should rightly divide the word of truth with forgiveness. Do you see that, my brothers and sisters? Now, as we look at the dispensation of grace as we close, in order to be forgiven, they had to be forgiven in Christ's earthly ministry. Now, we see the significant contrast between the base of life and the forgiveness for believers today living under the gospel, the grace of God, versus the base of life and forgiveness for Israel under the law that Jesus spoke of. Now, Paul exhorts all grace believers to forgive one another for a different motive. Paul says we forgive, we are to forgive as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So do you redeem your time not only to present the gospel, what about to forgive brothers and sisters who have wronged you, hurt you, said things about you, criticized you, persecuted you? We don't earn forgiveness of the Lord. His forgiveness is now extended to us freely. Hope we get that. And go and read Romans 12:14-21, where Paul talks about recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Read Romans 12:14-21, my brothers and sisters. As we go through this sin-cursed world and face the sufferings of this present time, we not only should walk in love, walk as children of light, walk them circumspectively, we should always remember each other in prayer. Apostle Paul encouraged and admonished saints in the body of Christ to pray for each other. We should always pray for one another, my brothers and sisters. We should always remember that. So redeem the time, my brothers and sisters, because the days are evil. And as we close tonight, let us continue to think and keep those in prayer that's in the body of Christ. Let's pray for the body of Christ, that God will continue to strengthen them and us and our inner man. And let's pray for this, pray for the lost, that they will hear the gospel of their salvation and believe it by faith that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Let us close. Let us pray. Father, heaven, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray as those who listen in that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they were edified, and that they would come away from this word tonight, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, and not forgetting that we are ambassadors for you, and we represent you in all we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.